please pay close attention to this whole service. There's going to be tons of knowledge and understanding that will be coming to you. This can only be achieved from this service at the House of Yahweh. Prophecy, laws of health, and Yematria all added up to one fantastic lesson. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the priest.
The great queens of the House of Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. For those of you that's in the outside in chairs, you can please be seated. It is an honor to be able to speak to all of you, whether you be in your cars, sitting in your homes, or just watching over the internet. And as stated earlier, we will be hearing from the greatest teacher in the world, bringing forth these prophecies of Yahweh in these last days. And what I am going to be continuing on is I will be continuing on the search that I had done. The greatest kingdom in the universe is changing hands. And if I could have my first slide, please. Now, the last time I spoke, I had done a search on the first number, 2299 in the Greek, and it came up as feminine of 2316, a female deity, a goddess. And 2316 means a deity, especially the supreme divinity, and we had been expounded upon that this person is Satan. And Satan, at this up until this time, has control over the kingdom in the universe, because she was given that she had taken that control in the form of Yada. Now, if I could have my second slide, please. So what I did was I continued on with these numbers, and I did a search on number 3042, and this is from the Strong's Concordance, the red letter edition, and it's in the Hebrew, and it's from 3034 and 3050, and it means praised of Jah. But remember, J had not come into being until the 16th century. So at the time that the Holy Scriptures were written, there was no J. So you change the J to Y, and it means Yah. And Yah, Y-A-H, is a form of the Creator's name, our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. So any time that you see the J in any of these books, these study guides, remember that the J was not in existence at the time of Yahweh's Holy Scriptures being written by the prophets. They revered to the Creator's name as Yahweh. Now, if I could have my next slide, please. Now, 3034 is a primitive root, and it's used only as a denominative form from 3027, and literally means to use, hold out, the hand, to throw. But it also means to praise, to give thanks, to confess, to make confession. Now, the way we praise Yahweh in the house of Yahweh is we raise our hands, both our hands up to Yahweh, and we bow our head, and this is how we praise Yahweh, and we pray to Him through our heads. We raise both hands up, and this number 3034 gives us the definition of why that means, how that means. It means to praise. And if I could have my next slide, please. Now, this is from the Vine's definition. I actually made a copy of this from my Strong's Concordance. And I want you to take notice of the highlighted areas. It says that the name was Yada, and it's spelled Y-A-D-A-H. And it's a primitive root. And if we go to the definitions from the Vines at 3C, it says, man is occasionally the object of Yada, but far more commonly, the Heavenly Father is the object. And if you go to 3F, it explains, especially in the hymns and thanksgivings of the Psalter, it is evident that Yada is a recital of and thanksgiving for Yahweh's mighty acts of salvation. They actually say this in the Vines. They actually use the correct name of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. That is directly from the book. You can go to the Strong's Red Concordance. You can look this up. It's on page 107 in the Hebrew, and you can see the name Yahweh itself. Now, it continues on for number 14. Often, the direct object of Yada is the name of Yahweh. This is an idiom of synonymous with praising Yahweh. These are the person who wrote the vines. This is Vine himself. He actually used Yahweh's name. He was inspired to use his name. It says it introduces the entire dimension evoked by the name in the biblical usage and reminds us that the Holy Father cannot be directly approached by fallen man, but only through his name and the names that he has given, which is Yeshua. And in the last days, our pastor, the overseer, Israel Hawkins. Now, if I could have my next slide, please. Now, the next slide is, it's the kingdom, greatest kingdom of the universe is changing hands. And this is 3050. Now, 3050 has been brought out by the priest. And it actually is a contraction of 3068 and means the same, which is Jah. But remember, we dropped the J. We use the Y, and it's Yah, the sacred name. And if I could have my last slide, please. Okay, the last slide is 507. Now, this comes from the Hebrew, and it means from 473, and it means upward or on top. Now, I want to read you something from the books of Israel. This is the fourth book of Israel, and it's The Lion and Betrayal, and it's verse 46, and he says, I was telling someone last night that Yahweh is our perfect example of total righteousness, and it means the scepter of righteousness, and that is the righteousness, the righteous scepter of Yahweh's kingdom. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to our next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. For those who are standing, you can be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. So my title today is Eat the Books of Israel Hawkins as well. And that I put that in the Ametria, and in the Jewish it was 1477. So 1477 is from 1476, it means protected. And it's from 1598 to hedge about, that is generally protect, defend. And 1477 in the Greek is a support, that is figuratively basis, ground. And it made me think of Fastimaya 3:15, where it reads, but if I'm delayed, I write so that you can know the right and proper way to conduct yourself in the house of Yahweh, who are the called out ones of the living Father, the pillar and ground. Remember that word, ground, the pillar and ground of the truth. And it's from that number, 1477, is from 1476 in the Greek, which means sedentary. That is, by implication, immovable, settled, steadfast. Now, the books of Israel Hawkins, they will give you a strong foundation, a steadfast ground that will protect you from the deception that is all around us. 1,499 religions versus one. You see how the deception is so rampant in the world today. And even Revelation 12:9 says that the whole world is deceived. Now, reading from Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, it says, For there will arise false messiahs and false prophets who will show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they will deceive the very elect. But will they deceive the very elect? No. And who is this very elect? Israel Hawkins, right? Israel Hawkins is the very elect. And we can also show that with the Ametria and prove it with the Ametria. I put in the Ametria, Yahweh's very elect. And as you can see there, 204, it means belonging to the extreme corner, chief corner. And who is that? Who is the chief cornerstone? Yeshua Messiah, right? And Yeshua Messiah was perfect, he was righteous, he was sinless. He was a sinless example. And Zechariah says that he's working in companionship with Israel Hawkins in these last days. And Israel Hawkins is also sinless. Remember, he's sinless, is 828. 1224 is the other number, and it comes from 1223, an enclosure, that is sheepfold. And we know the sheepfold is the house of Yahweh. And whenever pastors mention in the scripture, we know that the house of Yahweh is always behind him. And if we're in unity, we submit ourselves to him as our teacher, our guide, our leader, then whenever he's mentioned in the scripture, then we know that we are mentioned with him as the house of Yahweh. 1224 in the Greek means to come over, pass through. And we know that these two, Yeshua Messiah and Israel Hawkins, they're going to see us through this plague. We are going to pass through it. 1,000 will fall on our left, 10,000 on our right, but it will not come near us. 2730 is the other number. It means reverential. And how do we reverence Yahweh? By keeping his laws. And 2730, in the Greek, it means to house permanently. That is, reside, literally or figuratively, dwell. Remember the scripture, we will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Now, going back to my title, Eat the Books of Israel Hawkins. It is only Israel Hawkins, the last day's anointed witness, the overseer of the house of Yahweh, the seventh Malach, who is able to count to three, layering scripture after scripture, prophecy after prophecy, and enabling us to see the big picture that we would in ourselves not see if we would not figure it out on ourselves. So he's the Malach of Yeshua. Remember Revelations 22:16. He's the Malach of Yeshua who is clearing the night vision. When Pastor was reading from Daniel 7:13 the other day, he said the scripture used the word the night vision, and he explained it's a foggy vision, it's an unclear vision, but he's the one who is making it clear in these last days. And he's in chapter, I think 10, it says, blessed is he who reads. We know that he reads, and even in another sermon he said that he spends more time reading than anybody else in the house of Yahweh. And also Revelation 10:7 says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh Malach, when he will begin to sound, the great secrets of Yahweh will be finished. And we know these secrets, these seals, these things that the world don't understand, Israel Hawkins is explaining them to us in these last days. Now, my question to all those who are in the world is, why should you die? Why should you die when Yahweh is offering you life? All you need is an empty plate, pure hearts, and a willing attitude. An empty plate. When we come here on Sabbath and Sabbath services as well as feast days, we come to feed ourselves spiritual food. And when your plate, this plate is a spiritual plate. When you come here with your plate having some food on it, some uncleanness, we know if it's not from the house of Yahweh, definitely it's a mixture. So when you come here with that mixture and get pure holiness from the house of Yahweh, it can go together. It's a mixture. And also you need to have a pure heart. Remember when we were going over the sermon about frequencies, we were told that the heart here and the heart and the mind in the heart and the mind up here, they need to be working together. They need to be connected. And we know that the heart is the seat of intelligence where you make your decisions from. So your heart needs to be pure. And also your attitude, you need to have a willing attitude. You need to humble yourself to be teachable so that you're able to learn. And so we only left with a few days until the feast is over. And Pastor said that you will learn things that you never knew was in your Bible if you come here. And it's very true. Just spending a single day under the feet of the priest in the house of Yahweh, you'll learn what it takes to have salvation as compared to going to churches over and over again. So which one would you rather? The teachings of Israel Hawkins don't just end when the feast is over or when the Sabbath services are over during the week. You can get the books of Israel Hawkins, and in there, Pastor explains in great details the scripture, the book of Yahweh, which he only can enable us to figure out. So I urge you all to not only just read, but to study. Eat the books of Israel Hawkins. Now turn to the next teacher.
Shalom, everyone. If you're standing, you can sit down. So, we're going to be continuing talking about the last of the seven plagues that our great overseer has been explained to us. And you know that he has been telling us that it includes a lot of scriptures and many prophecies that have already come to pass and are going to come to pass. And he's setting it all in order for us to understand. So, one thing that we can do to help ourselves is to go back and read the books that he's already put out, for example, The Mark of the Beast, and listening, comparing it to the recent writings and listening to his recent sermons. So we know that Yahweh's plan is perfect, right? And we know that's Yochanan 1:1-5 is one scripture where it talks about Yahweh's plan being with him from the beginning. That's on page 814, Yochanan 1:1-5. Before I read it, this scripture is actually a scripture that can help us to understand the concept of what the sea of glass is. Because if you read it, it's like Yahweh's looking at his whole plan. The way he inspired it to be written, it's like he's looking at his whole plan from the outside looking in. Okay, so it says, in the beginning was the plan of Yahweh. That was way back in Genesis. And the plan was with Yahweh, and the plan was Yahweh's. Verse 2, the same plan was in the beginning with Yahweh. Verse 3 is what we want to focus on. All things were done according to it, and without it nothing was done that was done, or nothing is being done that's being done. Verse 4, in this plan was life, and that life was light to mankind. Verse 5, now that light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not take hold of it. So we're not going to get into this today, but when you think about where that life was that he's talking about that shines in the darkness, the life or the light, we know it was cut off in Genesis 3:22, so it's referring also to the last days. Because there's been darkness for 6,000 years, and actually for 2,000 years after Yahshua, there was no light at all. And we know that Yahweh's plan is perfect, and all things that were prophesied are being fulfilled in these last days, and part of these plagues, the end of it is bringing a great nuclear burning. It's called an end time, the last 3.5 years, the end of the age, last generation, the great day of Yahweh, and the end of sin, and also the last war no more. Okay, so Genesis 4 verse 7, we'll go there. It's in the beginning of the book of Yahweh. Genesis 4 verse 7, we know that that's where Yahweh tells Cain, if you would practice righteousness, you would be accepted. Right on page 3, if you do righteousness, will you not be acceptable? And if you do not do righteousness, sin is crouching at your door. The desire to sin is with you, but you must overcome it. That's actually applying to all the religions here in these last days. There's sin lying at the door, 4,199 religions, and it's not like they're overcoming it or practicing righteousness. They're deceived, as Revelation 12, verse 9 says. And because of that deception, we have what's in verse 14. If you look down there, surely you have driven me out this day. Well, we know Cain drove himself out. But look at the last part. There shall be continual war, vengeance, and retaliation. And when you read it just like that, with that pastor's words, it kind of seems like Cain just said, all right, I killed Abel, now there's going to be war for 6,000 years. But that's not exactly how it occurred. Remember what our overseer told us the other day, Daniel 7:10, the judgment was set, and Revelation 16:5, that Yahweh and his judgments are righteous. So this is part of Yahweh's judgment being set. Another example is Genesis 11, verse 6, after the flood, he said, nothing that they purposed to do would be withheld from them. And that includes this great nuclear burning, or the heat wave that they're going to bring. It's going to be impossible for the microorganisms to cool down. And it's going to bring a lot of death. So Yahweh promises war no more. Honk your horns if you know what scripture that is. Isaiah 2:2-4, Micaiah 4:1-3, if I can find it. And we have there, it's on page 531, Isaiah 2:2-4. Verse 2, if you see, it will come to pass in the last days, that's the days that we're in right now, that the mountain or promotion of the house, I think the King James Version says hills, top of the hills, would be established in the chief of the nations. So when you look up the word mountain or hills, it's word number 2022 in Hebrew. So can we get our imagery that shows those numbers? We have foretelling events about the end time, and there you see the number 2022. So at the house of Yahweh, you'll find the witness who's foretelling events. Can we get the next one? We have come out of this world and be separate, which is something that we've been practicing for years, and the world is barely actually seeing the benefits of that. 2022, the house of Yahweh is coming out of the world and being separate. We have end of all sin, evil, and transgression. That's also 2022. The house of Yahweh is bringing forth the end of all sin. The last one is part of Pastor's new song, The House of Yahweh, Eternal Love and Peace. And some of the words are, this plan will work. We rejoice in agreement this day. And there you see 5:12, Yahweh's perfect plan that was with him from the beginning. He's in full control. And 3072 is actually Yahweh's Zidkenu, Yahweh, our righteousness. So that's one thing that we can rejoice in that Yahweh's plan is perfect, his judgments are just, and we are the last remnant fulfilling the last part of his plan with Yisrael Hawkins, the last day's witness. And with this, I'll turn over to the next speaker.
Oh, shalom, everyone. If you're standing, please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. So I'm going to need assistance from the little people that are hearing this great message going out. I want you to write down on your little notepad, if you have one, I want you to draw just a human figure with a head and a body and little toes. And then I want you to put next to the head, gold, next to the arms, silver, next to the stomach and thighs, I want you to put bronze, and then the legs, iron, and then at the very bottom, I want you to put iron and clay. So I had a little bit of assistance drawing this, and if we could please show the first slide. This is the most modest description that I could find. And as you can see, this is the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. This is written in Daniel chapter 2. And as you can see, these are the four world ruling powers, and it all started during the time of Daniel. So Babylon was the first world ruling power during the time of Daniel, and then Medo-Persia, Greece, and then Rome, which ancient Rome, and then the feet, which was part iron and part clay, was Papal Rome, the days we're in right now. Now, if you could show the image again, at the very bottom, I put a stone. And we're going to be talking about that stone today. So in the Yalmatria, we put in, Yahweh inspired to put in the stone, the house of Yahweh. Because the stone does represent the house of Yahweh. And when we add all these numbers, it comes out to 4328, which means foundation. And a lot of things comes to mind, which is like the prophets and apostles are our foundation in which the house of Yahweh stands. And the stone, here's what's interesting, is because in Daniel chapter 2, verse 34 and 35, it says that the stone was cut without hands. And when I put in Yalmatria, the stone, cut of stone, it shows overseer's date of birth, which is 828. Now, what's also interesting is that 4328 means to wait for, to look for, to anticipate, and thought, hope, or fear. And all creation is groaning and waiting for the revealing of the saints of Yahweh, which is the great house of Yahweh, those who are building up the house of Yahweh in these last days. Now, this also, so the foundation, it reminded me of Zechariah chapter 4, when the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will also finish it. So when we put that in the Yalmatria, the 4737 means possession of Yahweh, and in the Hebrew, it means to crown, to adorn with an honorary wreath. And like I showed before, the crown of creation is tagged with the number 1074. So, you know, in these last days, when overseer has established the house of Yahweh through the inspiration of Yeshua Messiah, both of them working together as this cut stone without hands, laying the foundation, and then all creation is waiting for the revealing of the saints of Yahweh. What's interesting is because, you know, we see these prophecies, and as they add on to one another, one of the things that I noticed is it says on verse 35, it says, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth, the universe. We can completely rely on all the prophecies that are written in the scriptures. And I'm running out of time, but I wanted to leave with, just as Daniel was delivered from the mouth of the lions, just as Daniel was delivered from the power of the lions, just as Daniel was delivered out of the power of Yada, so all the people of Yahweh will be delivered from the hands of Yada. And with this, if you'd all please stand or remain seated, and I'll turn it over to the following speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated.
Now, before I get into this speech, the overseer asked me to remind you about the date today is Yahweh 19. Remember, he told us what the number 19 represents, and that in Hebrew it represents the pointing of a sword, which is in Isaiah 49:2, where it says that the overseer has this mouth that has a two-edged sword. In the Greek, it means righteousness. So, and also Yahweh 19AY in the Yematria is 1967, the date that the overseer was drawn to Abilene, led to Abilene by Yeshua and Yahweh. So we do praise, bless, and thank the overseer for pointing out righteousness to us and bringing us to perfection and overcoming. So now getting on to my talk here today, the title is right up here. Can we look at that, Yematria? The micro kingdoms help at the last day. And you see that 1962? That 1962 is the date that the overseer and his brother went on the radio. And on page 75 of the Global Warming Book, it shows that in 1962, through a radio broadcast, a prophetic warning to this generation began. That was 58 years ago. He's been working a long time. So we see that he has been working, and the micro kingdoms are working with him. And we also see on page 69 of this same book, it says, your body as a service in your family. As an individual, you have responsibilities in your home, your family, your work area. You use every organ of your body constantly to take care of your responsibilities. And when an organ gets sick and shuts down, the home can usually make adjustments to manage the help with the other members. But it's less effective than if all members were working. And he continues on in there, showing that these micro kingdoms that Yahweh created were created and regulated by laws. And I have a Yematria up there for that, that the micro kingdoms are regulated by law. And you see that those numbers there, and we're going to go over those. But let us remember how this works. These micro kingdoms were created to bring and keep and guard Yahweh's way and just keep it running smoothly. It was sin, it was man's sin that weakened these microorganisms to where they can't work properly. But Yahweh's going to bring back that power to them. They willingly obeyed Yahweh, they willingly obeyed Yeshua, and now we see in these last days that the overseer is sinless, and they will willingly obey him. So let's go over these numbers. Micro kingdoms are regulated by law. We see in the Hebrew 22:43, we'll just keep that right on there, the cherisher from the bosom, to hide as in the bosom, to cherish with affection. You know, when you have a child and you hold them close to you, that's what that is, that holding close to. It also means a secret, to hide, to do secretly. Remember, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under that shadow. And the Hebrew origin, in the Greek it goes 22:43, it goes back to the Hebrew 4:52, which is the Ilya, the strength of Yahweh. The Malachi 4:5 is the laws and the prophets. Okay, so let's go on to Hebrew 19:80. It's akin to 32:12, to walk, to lead. The way one walks in life refers to living a righteous life, and it referenced Abraham in Genesis 17:1. It means to cause, to carry, and to bring. In the Greek, 19:80 means to inspect, to select. Now, let me go back and point something out that really needs to be pointed out here. 1980 was the year that the last day's first mobile sanctuary was dedicated. So when we're looking at this, think of what was going on here. So someone's inspecting, selecting, visiting, looking upon, caring for, exercising oversight, visit with help. Doesn't that not represent Yeshua, what he did when he, in Zechariah, just as the overseer said last time he spoke, Zechariah 6:12, that he was beholding this branch that was starting the work in these last days. He was helping them. In the Hebrew 3:30 means to bind a twisted yarn, fine linen. And we know that's the tzitzit. And when you look upon that tzitzit, you see Yahweh's name and his 613 laws. In the Greek, it means to flourish, to revive. Flourish, flourish anew again, to revive. In the dictionary, revive means to restore to life. And as we can bring up this next gematria, just a reminder that, go back to a sermon that talked about hidden in a name, and you will see that Buffalo Bill Hawkins was hidden by Yahweh in order to restore the house of Yahweh. So that goes right along with what he did in 1980, starting the restoration, the restoring, that he's bringing back salvation in 1962, and then the house of Yahweh started being set up under the beholding of Yeshua. Now, in the Thayer's Greek lexicon, that Greek 3:30 means to shoot up, to sprout again, Yeketskia 17:24. As we read this, remember the trees in Genesis 2:9. And all the trees of the field will know that I, Yahweh, have brought down the high tree. We know that the high tree right now is that mixture of righteousness and evil, that Catholic Church, that system from the beginning that brought forth sin. I, Yahweh, have brought down the high tree and exalted the low tree, the humble tree, the righteous tree, and have dried up the green tree and have made the dry tree flourish. I, Yahweh, have spoken and have done this. Now, I do have one more. I just want you to quick look at this. Hopefully, we'll have a little time to talk about it next time, but if you can just get... Oh, it's a little small, huh? Okay, we can go over this next time. It just talks about the 1,335 spoken of in Daniel 12:12. That goes right back to the 1980. So with that, I praise Yahweh for everything he's bringing forth in his house and allowing us to be the part of the greatest kingdom with micro kingdoms supporting us.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated or stay in your car, whatever it is you're doing to praise Yahweh today. The title of my speech today is It's in the Books. It's in the Books. And in the books, I want to take you back to 28 years ago when our overseer was in it's the second book of Israel, chapter 12, verse 101. We're going to go 28 years back and 27 years back. That's a long time. So we're going to go ahead and read. The second book of Israel, chapter 12, verse 101. And then we're going to read the second book of Israel, chapter 19, verse 43. And in verse 12, chapter 12, it says, "You were so joyous when you found the house of Yahweh," or the kingdom of Yahweh. You were so joyous. It says, "Keep this joy." Now, keep this joy is like a command, because Pastor knew that we might lose that joy. Sometimes it's not easy to keep something for a long time. Remember, this is 28 years ago. Honk your horn if you've been here 28 years. Okay, you hear those horns honking? Every day, that day-to-day grind, he wanted to encourage us. It says, keep this joy. Go back to reading, and it says, it's very important in Yahweh's eyes that you keep this joy and not let anyone, which means somebody can do it, not let anyone take it from you or to deceive you. The second book of Israel, this is on 3:20:93, chapter 19, verse 43. It says, when you found the kingdom, you notice how it says kingdom there? When you found the kingdom, it was the greatest thing on earth to you, wasn't it? You really loved it. You remember when you first came to the house of Yahweh and you wanted to move here? You didn't want to leave. We would cry tears of joy when the feast was over because everybody just wanted to stay, right? You were thankful. And you should still be, because you're learning more and more about this kingdom, Pastor says. It's getting close to that time when you're going to be changed and become part of this kingdom, okay? So we're becoming part of this kingdom. Okay, now one more. Another one. The second book of Israel, this is 26 years ago now, chapter 40, verses 8 and 9. Remember when you first came to the house of Yahweh? Think back just a little. This is 26 years ago, he's saying that. When you were first brought to the house of Yahweh, remember, he told us that was the kingdom. You had found that jewel, as Yahshua described it. It was such a blessing to find out. Remember when you found out you were deceived? You were going to church? You were rolling Easter eggs? You were putting presents under trees? You know what you were doing before you found this kingdom, right? And to finally be awakened to the place that Yahweh himself had established his work on earth, it was such a wonderful thing. You were so thankful at that time, and you were ready to give up everything you had to do because you were thankful to be here. Okay. Now, don't forget your first love. We were so thankful that we found this kingdom. The third book of Israel, this is 16 years ago. Honk your horn if you've been here 16 years. Lots of horns now. The third book of Israel, chapter 23, verse 10 and 62. Pastor says, turn over to Revelation 9. You need to pay close attention. Now, he's telling us to pay close attention, so I want everyone, no matter what you're doing, to pay close attention. You need to pay close attention to this because everyone is asking when they should move here. When they should move here to Abel. The scriptures tell you when to move. If we move here too soon, we'll hurt the work. Why? Because of the tithe and offering, right? We can't do that. The work is the most important thing, and it should be the most important thing in your mind. The work is the most important thing in the universe, and you have to remember that and keep the work going. Now, you want to know when to move here? He says it in verse 62 of this same chapter. The first thing we have to do is a work. He told us that. Most important thing. The last thing we have to do is get out of the world at a certain time so we don't suffer the final plagues that they're going to bring upon this earth. Do you see that it was in the books the whole time? We couldn't move here back in 2004 because it wasn't time. We had to do the work of Yahweh. We had to support the work of Yahweh with our tithe and our offerings. See it? But now he's saying, the last thing that we have to do is get out of this world so that we don't suffer these plagues. That last sermon, the third book of Israel, chapter 23, verses 10 and 62 that I just quoted, it was in the books the whole time. That sermon was given on 10-7-04. 10-7, Revelation 10-7. Because in the days of the voice, this is Yahweh's voice, the voice of the seventh Moloch, when he will begin to sound, the great secret, which is this kingdom of Yahweh, would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. What a fitting thing. 10-7, he told us when to move here. But not only that, it was 10-7-04, which is 10-7-4. 10-74, which is our pastor's tag number, tagged by Yahweh the whole time. Yahweh knew, and he tagged it, and he knew when he was going to tell us to move here, when all the saints of Yahweh would come and support this great work by being physically present here to continue to get ready for those that are going to be coming in. Now, for those of you who are listening, I have a very important thing to say to you. Things are going to appear as though they're getting back to normal soon. That's when you need to not get complacent and you need to quickly make your move to get here to the house of Yahweh. Because if you don't act, you can't say that you have not been warned. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the great priest in Yahweh's house.
It's in the books, right? Praise Yahweh. At this time, we get to hear from great deacon Michael Ossoff.
Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Let's quickly turn over to Genesis 1. But let's turn over to Genesis 1:26, and it says, Yahweh said, I will make man in my image, according to my likeness. They will have authority over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And we know that Pastor Israel has taught us what these creeping things are. They're the microbes, the bacterium, the atoms, the quarks. And now science is discovering that it doesn't stop with that. As far as they know, it just continually gets smaller and smaller. Let's get into this code search. I did a search on microbes. And the letter skip was, between each letter of the word microbes, was 5,451 letters. And in Strong's, it meant ear of grain, but it comes from 7640, and that means a branch. That means a branch. So let's get into it. This is a really, really great search. Let's see, we got it up here. Yeah, move it. Okay, great. All right, here we go. So, of course, the main search was right here, microbes. Now, I just let the computer, the program, search out everything in there. There's only one word in this entire search that I looked for, and there was a reason for it, and I'll get to that in a bit. But this is all the words the program found in there. They were not searched out by myself, except for, again, one word. Okay, so we have microbes. And crossing microbes right here, we have Eden. And remember the Garden of Genes, Eden. Okay. Get lost here. Okay, then right up here. Three, alive. We have alive. And this one's really great. They praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Okay. And then the next one, right here. This is antecedents. Antecedents. And what that word means, antecedents, means preceding in time or order, pre-existing. Microbes were with Yahweh before the earth and mankind were created. And that's how Yahweh had created. The microbes created mankind and earth under Yahweh's authority and guidance. Okay? And then we have, let's see. Okay, right here, we have armies. Armies. And if you remember, Pastor Yisrael said the beneficial microbes in the gut are beneficial armies that help keep our bodies working properly. So we have armies right there. Okay. Armies. And then seven right here. Seven is astounding, amazing, awesome. Astounding, amazing, and awesome. Then down here, going across the bottom, or as I call it, the foundation, is atmosphere. Atmosphere. Then we come over to here, and way over here on the side, nine, and then the next one, nine, which is right here. And that one right there is baptism. Baptism. And then the next one that came up, we have baptism. Okay. Then right here, we have confession. Confession. Baptism and confession. Now, I asked Pastor about that because myself and my supervisor were talking about it. And Pastor, he had said, I don't really know why that would be that way. And he said, unless the microbes will have nothing to do with an unrepentant body. And I said, well, that makes perfect sense. Because remember, Yahweh says he cannot work with stubbornness. He can't work with someone that will not repent. Neither will the microbes. So, and remember, conversion and repentance is something we do. That's a choice Yahweh gives to us, to repent and convert. But the baptism and confessions, the microbes are involved with that, which I thought was amazing. That was one of those mind-blowing things. Okay. All right, then right here we have breeze. And remember, the microbes are the ones that make the air. They make the air move. They're in the air. You know, those tiny kingdoms. Okay. Then we have, right here, going across, we have gut. And like I said, the microbes that are in our gut that help our bodies work properly. Remember Zonderlin and Zot, that sermon we're still waiting for, about the beneficial microbes in the gut that make your brain work properly. Okay, so we have that, number 12. Then we have House of Yahweh, of course. House of Yahweh. right? House of Yahweh. Okay, then right here, I want you to quickly, put that right there, turn over to Isaiah 40, 22. Now remember, I didn't look up these words. This is what the program showed was around the word microbes. Isaiah 40, 22, quickly. And I'll go ahead and start reading 40, 22 of Isaiah. And it says, "It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in." Notice that word grasshoppers. Of course, 14 is the Hebrew word for grasshopper or grasshoppers. So that, again, was another amazing thing Yahweh had put in there. Again, proving the words of Yisrael Hawkins, showing that, you know, he always calls them bugs. Then up here, we have voice of Yahweh. And it's the voice of Yahweh in these last days that's teaching these things to us about the microbes. Okay, then we have the next one that came up right here was Wuhan. And of course, we know what that means, dealing with the coronavirus, Wuhan. And I'm going to start moving a little bit quicker here. Right here, we have creation. And you notice creation is connected to antecedents, which means preceding in time, again, or order, pre-existing, the microbes in the beginning, creation. Okay? Then 18 and 19 right here, breath of life, breath of life, breath of life. And we have right here, we have salvation, salvation. All right, so the next one is right here in your books of Yahweh. Turn over to Luke 24, 51. Again, I didn't look up any of these words. Luke 24, 51. Luke 24, 51. And it reads, "As he was blessing them, he parted from them and was taken up into the heavens." 21 right here is the word transporter. So the microbes do a lot more than we realize. It was the microbes that probably lifted him up, enclosed him to be able to go out into the space and made an environment for him to be able to transport him up to Yahweh Shema. Okay? Then 22, which is right here, subconscious mind. All right? Subconscious mind. And then the last one, 23 and 24. Now, 23 was the word teeny, as in real, real, real small, teeny, okay? Now, this is what I looked up. I looked up this word to see if it was there, teeny, and then I looked up kingdoms connected to it. Teeny kingdoms, real small. Now, some other words that came up that were just did not have the room for were antediluvian, of course, that means before the great flood, appointed, atomic, beneficial, bowels, conception, consecration, convocation, deliverance, enzymes, laws of Yahweh, faithful, Gomorrah, as in the destruction that's coming in these last days, is like the time before. Languishing. We know that Yahweh says they're suffering and they're hurting. Mountain of Yahweh, pollination, and sanctification. And the closer we get to perfection, the more we're seeing the microbes begin to work with us and help us. They're here to help us. And we need to pray that Yahweh is strengthening them so they can do their jobs. And it's our job to overcome and to become perfect as Yahweh is perfect, so that we can use these microbes to help mankind, to turn things around and to bring peace to this earth and to all the universe. And if you'll all, those that you can't stand, remain sitting. And those that you can stand, please stand. With great joy, I have the honor to turn it over to a great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kohen Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Yahweh's peace be with the whole family of Yahweh everywhere. Please be seated. And we'll go ahead and get started. If we could put up that title slide. Pastor's been talking about this throughout the feast. Not only is Yahweh here, but so is Yahshua, our great high priest, working with the branch. And the title is, "And Having a High Priest Over the House of Yahweh." And that's from Hebrews 10:21. Can I have my next slide? So I'm going to be working from the 12th book of Israel, in chapter 1 and verse 38. And it says, in Hebrews 10, we see in verse 21, "And having a high priest over the house of Yahweh." When you put in the high priest over the house of Yahweh, you get 24:24. And I want you to think of our great high priest and everything he represents. And when I'm given these definitions, it means living in life. And it means from 24:21 to keep alive, make alive, give promise of life, repair, restore to life, be whole, revive, preserve alive. From 23:31 to live, show, to tell and declare. And now notice 24:24 in Strong's Greek, it's the word Joshua. As we know, it's from Hebrew 31:91. It actually means Yahshua. And Yahshua means Yahweh will save his people, the house of Yahweh, and those who follow Yisrael Hawkins and keep the laws of Yahweh from their sins. And there you see our great high priest in the nebula, you know, thousands and thousands of light years away in the Orion Nebula with our great pastor. Okay, can we have the next slide? Now, when you think of the high priest over the house of Yahweh, the word "over" also means above. It's word number 1909 in Strong's. But I put in the high priest above the house of Yahweh. That's exactly what he is. Notice 389 means to set up, establish, to prepare, to be ready, to provide for. Think of all the job of a high priest, to furnish, to direct toward, in a moral sense, in other words, to help us to overcome, to arrange in order and to fashion, faithfulness, to direct, tarry. And we'll see why that word "tarry" there is there, because, you know, is Yahshua our high priest? Can you see him at this time? Not physically. And then it means to be restored. Second number 23:34 means life-giving, living place, from 23:32, and it means life-giver, to show, to tell and declare, and to live. Now think of our high priest. The third number 23:34 in Strong's Greek means to look at, to gaze, beholds. Beholds who? Well, Yahshua beholds the branch in these last days, as Zechariah 6:12 tells him to do, and he beholds this work in these last days, guiding it and directing it. He watches, it says, sees, watching, means to appear from 3,700. Now, I want you to remember that number 3,700, because it was 3,700 years from 1689 BY, when Genesis 49 was written about the donkey and the donkeys and the branch, and how they would be working together, until 2011 AY, when pastors saw the donkey vision over this the land of Yahweh. It says to appear. 3,700 means to appear, to look at, behold, allow oneself to appear, to gaze with wide open eyes as at something remarkable. And then notice 3091 in Strong's Hebrew, Yahshua. Yahweh will save his people from their sins. So again, you see that Yahshua is the name of the high priest over the house of Yahweh. There's no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved, it says. Okay, can I have my next slide? When you put in all those meanings I just gave you, you get 3444, and it means salvation, deliverance, saving, prosperity, security, victory, aid, health, and welfare, from 3467. Remember, pastor was born in 34, came to Abilene in 1967, and it means to deliver, endowed with salvation. These meanings come from Zechariah 9:9, where it says that he comes riding on a donkey and the colt of a donkey with salvation, brought salvation, savior, to free or help, preserve, to bring salvation, to rescue, be safe. Notice these things. This is remarkable. You know, it's not like these numbers are just supposed to be there. We didn't write Strong's. Okay? We didn't make up the Yematria. You know, these things are hidden from the world, but they're made open to the house of Yahweh. Remember that he releases these scrolls, our great high priest. Now let's go to the next slide. This again is from the 12th book of Israel, chapter 1, verse 38. He says, we know for sure in verse 16 that he's teaching the same covenant that was made by Yahweh at the beginning with his people, the laws and prophecies of Yahweh. And Yahweh is leading it. Yahweh is leading it. Notice, I will put my laws into their hearts. That's from Hebrews 10:16. Notice he's doing it. 24:24, Yahshua, which from Hebrew 30:91, Yahweh will save his people from their sins. That's his job. That's what he's doing. And he's directing the branch in these last days to write these in our hearts and minds. And notice again that number 34:44 that I just showed you. Salvation, deliverance, saving, prosperity. From 34:67, to deliver, endow with salvation, brought salvation, Savior, to free or help preserve, to bring salvation and be safe, to be open. And notice, Yahweh is leading it, as he said in that verse up there, Yahweh is leading it, 10:74. That's right, because he's using the branch to work with Yahshua, leading this work in these last days. Can I have my next slide? Now, we know that an evil and adulterous generation seeks after signs. We don't seek signs in the house of Yahweh. And Pastor said in this very sermon, he says, I don't seek signs. All I want is to be called by Yahweh's name, and I want Yahweh's righteousness. Okay? But notice, an evil and adulterous generation does seek after signs. Notice when you put in evil and adulterous generation, you get a double 1866. That means it's from 1865, and it means liberty and freedom. But it's not talking about the liberty and freedom that Yahweh gives us. Notice, when you add up 1866 double, it's 3732, and it means Captherum, or Captor, a wreath-shaped island. Remember that crown that we talked about, this crown of Satan, okay? And notice, Captherim is 666 in Yematria. And you can read about the Captherim in Genesis 10:14. They came out of Egypt, okay? Known as the Philistines. Now notice something remarkable here. Captor means a crown in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. And let me read you a scripture. This is going to make it a little more understandable. In Matthew 24:33, Yahshua says, when you see all these things, know that is coming, and the end of the ages are near at the very door. Truly I say to you, that generation will not pass away. Well, what generation is going to pass away? The evil and adulterous generation is going to pass away. We're not going to pass away. It says the evil and adulterous generation will not pass away until all these things are fulfilled. And notice, when you put that in your matria, you get 1866, which means liberty and freedom. And think about Jeremiah 34:17, where it says, behold, I'm going to proclaim liberty to you, to the sword, to pestilence, and to famine, because they didn't keep Yahweh's laws. It's not Yahweh doing this. It's that Yahweh's allowing them to go forward in their sin, in their rebellion, and this is what it's going to end up being, war, pestilence, and famine, as we see today. And it's going to get worse. Now, let's go to the next slide. So our Messiah was cut off and killed by that evil and adulterous generation. And let's look at the numbers of Messiah cut off, killed. 198 means to put to silence. Okay? Strong's Hebrew 1188, the next number means a great chief man, a bridegroom. From 1166, high to marry. This is speaking about Yahshua, our high priest, in the heavens, the bridegroom. 1188 in the Greek means on the right hand, where he's seated right now at the right hand of Yahweh, at the right side. And also the bride, remember, is at the right hand when he marries, when Yahshua marries the house of Yahweh. Okay, from 1209 means to take, to receive, accepted, to welcome. From 2983, to take up away, took, receive, hold, retain. That word retain, you need to remember Acts 3:21. It shows that Yahshua must be retained in the heavens until the time of the restoration, okay? And that's what we're seeing taking place, this changing of the kingdoms. It means to raise, to take up and take away. This is talking about Yahshua being taken up into heaven. 5375 Hebrew it goes to, and it means raised, rose, rise, accepted, exalted, honor, promoted, take away and withhold. And that third number, 666, is the mark of Cain and his followers who killed Yahshua. Can I have my next slide? So at the end of the ages, now, Yahshua was gone for 1900 years before Pastor was born, almost 2000 years now. At the end of the ages, I want you to look at this gematria of the end of the ages. You see the Jewish 434. Now that's alluding to Daniel 9:26, where it says, and after 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. He'll be killed, okay? Now, we know that he was killed, he was murdered, but he's also risen, right? Okay, so in that 852 or 142, it means great, high, noble, honorable, magnificent, majestic, speaking of our high priest. Greek 142, to raise, take up, rose, exalted, promoted, we went through those. And then Strong's Hebrew 852 means a sign, signs, a sign, witness, miracle, evidence. Remember, Pastor didn't ask for miracles, but Yahshua showed him, and he showed his house, a great sign in 2011 that he was still alive, that he was alive, in fact, and he's working with our pastor at this time in the whole house of Yahweh. Can I have the next slide? Okay, this is Revelation 5:6. It says, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, the quartet, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain. In other words, it seems like he's dead, but he's not. He's actually alive, and he's in the midst of this throne right now, in the midst of the quartet in this time period, okay? He's standing in his place as high priest at this time, even though it seems he's slain. Notice you get 1074. Means to constitute his firstborn. And remember, Yahshua is the firstborn from the dead. That's in Revelation chapter 1. And it goes to 1061, first fruits. 1074, remember, also means family, generation. He's the high priest over this family, this generation, this righteous generation, not the evil and adulterous generation on the seven hills of Rome. 1074 is the eternal tag number of Israel Hawkins in the family of Yahweh. Notice the second number, 644, means cornerstone. That's Yahshua, our high priest. But notice, though, Strong's Greek 4270, it means to bereave, to want, to withhold. Bereave means something's taken from you and you're sad about it, you know? But he's being withheld. He's being retained in the heavens until the time of restoration. And this was all, as you can see in Strong's Greek 4270, it was designated beforehand. It was ordained from the foundation of the world that Yahshua would be killed for our sins and taken up to heaven. And it was written in earlier times, as these meanings show. Can I have my next slide? A lamb as though it had been slain. In your matria, you get 251, which means a brother. Remember, Yahshua is our elder brother. From number one, a chief, principal, head of a household. Yes, Yahshua is the head of the house of Yahweh. Okay, now, and it says Strong's Hebrew 1506 means something cut off from 1504 to cut off. Remember, Yahshua was cut off after 62 weeks, or the 434 years that Daniel spoke about. And then Strong's Greek 852 means invisible, unseen, and hidden. Now, we don't see him with our eyes, but he's here. He is actually here. Over the house of Yahweh. Okay, that's actually a literal thing, okay? Now, let's go to the next slide. In the 12th book of Israel, same chapter, verse 36, he also says here, in this time of mourning, when the earth is mourning, he says, verse 30, and then will appear the sign of the Son of Man. Time of mourning. Notice, 1074. That's this generation. 1074 is the word generation in Matithya 24:34. Okay, think of that. And it's the eternal tag number of pastor. But notice the third number, 656. And by the way, 179 is Abel. Okay, it goes to the word Abel. Strong 656 in Hebrew means to cease, to fail, to come to an end. to be clean gone, brought to nothing and to disappear. What's that talking about? This evil system that's going to disappear, it's crumbling at this time before our very eyes. And soon, as Daniel showed in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, it's going to be, whew, the chaff is going to blow away. You're not going to know that it even existed. There'll be neither root nor branch left of this evil tree. Can I have my next slide? Now, from 33 AY, when Yahshua was taken up to when Pastor had that donkey vision right here over the land of Yahweh, it was 1978 years. It's not an accident. 1978 from 1980 means becoming, became greater, following, get rid, like get rid of sin, grew steadily, growing, remember turning green, sprout, more and more, be at the point, passing. And Greek 78, 1978 means notable and conspicuous. From 1909, remember that word 1909 is the word above or over in Hebrews 10, 21, the high priest. And it means connection. Remember making the connection with Yahweh? Above, together, view, near, by. And 4591 means to give a sign, to make known, communicated. Yes, Yahshua communicated something in 2011 right over this land right here using the microorganisms, okay? Now notice in the 12th book of Israel, chapter 1, verse 28, Pastor says, Yahweh, we're getting to where now we're close enough to being like him, that they're starting to make contact with us. And that's what this is about, these signs in the heaven. They're making contact with the house of Yahweh. And notice, you get that number 996. That's about this changing of the kingdoms. And it also means an interval, space between, above, meaning above the sanctuary here, above or the high priest over the house of Yahweh. From 995, it means to gaze, observe, and view. Let's go to the next slide. Now, Pastor says in the 12th book, chapter 1, verse 36, he says, I've often told you, this is not the Son of Man that you're going to see, but the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And notice, again, you get the 1074, Pastor's eternal tag number, okay? And remember all the meanings of 1074 about this generation, this family, this people of the same character, the peaceful solution character. And the number 644 remembers, or 6444 means cornerstone, that's Yahshua, our high priest. And 5807 means strength and might. Remember, the strength of Yahweh is Yahweh's laws, and Yahshua is the first sign of his father's strength, or the strength of Yahweh, what the law can do for mankind if they'll keep it. Okay? It makes to make firm and prevail. Let's go to the next slide. When you put in all those meanings right there, when you put in all those meanings, you get 5277, and it means to leave behind, to bequeath. From 5275, to leave behind, left remaining, to remain and survive, to leave under. Bequeath means to leave a personal estate or one's body to a person or other beneficiary by a will. Okay? Now remember, think of the high priest Yahshua in the will in the second book. We'll get to that some other time. I don't have time today, but the second number, 3166, means beheld by the Almighty. And Strong's Hebrew 3117 means day, period, age, and days. Well, that word day, if you go to the next slide, on yahwehsbranch.com, notice Yahweh's branch, the house of Yahweh, there's the logo, and you put that in, you get 1962. Yahweh's branch, the house of Yahweh. Pastor shows in Revelation 18:8, it says, therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. And notice, he says the Hebrew meaning for the words translated one day actually means a time period, and he tells us to compare Matithiah 24, 33, and 34 about that generation not passing away. When you put it in in the Yematria, just like he put it, you get 1934, showing you what generation or that day that these things are going to take place. Can I have my next slide? In the global warming book that we heard about this morning, we had in chapter 7, verse 76 and 78, he adds one word to that same saying that he said, that word verse. He adds the word verse, then it turns to 2022, the mountain of Yahweh. We heard about that today, right? And he said, one day, a time period, notice, 1074, and 853 means a sign. So let's wrap it up here with these. Turn to the next slide, please. The 12th book of Israel, chapter 1, verse 37 says, turn over to Hebrews 10. Notice, put in turn over to Hebrews 10, 1488. I showed you the other day what this meant. It's pastor's tag numbers added up, and it goes to 1510, and it means I exist. I am. That's Yahshua showing you he's alive. He's here in this house. Go to the next slide. In the same book, chapter 12, chapter 1, verse 37, it says, turn over to Hebrews 10. And he's showing us the sign that he is alive and well and ruling. Notice, put in is alive and well and ruling, 1488 again. That's our high priest showing that's both the pastor's tag numbers added together, 1488, which from 1510, I exist, I am, I'm here, I'm over the house of Yahweh, Yahshua says. I'm not dead. Final slide. Actually, Hebrews 4:14. The next slide. Hebrews 4:14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has ascended into the heavens, Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, let us hold fast our profession. Put in high priest who has ascended, 1488 again. Showing, I exist, I am. Pastor's tag numbers, showing who he's working with. And my final slide. This is the great signs of the Son of Man from heaven, Matthew 24:30 and Luke 22:11. Notice, you get 79, you get 1074, but you get 79:73, and I'm setting you up for the next sermon. It says, shoots, a shoot of growth, branch from 79:71 to send, direct. Remember, he was sent by Yahshua. He's directed by Yahshua to deliver, to set free, to release. And notice, let my people go. Let my people go. That's exactly the word that's used in Exodus, all throughout Exodus. You can look for yourself. At this time, if you'd remain sitting or please stand if you can. I'd like to turn it over now to Yahweh's great priest, the great Kohen Eliah Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Be seated. For all of those of you millions watching around the world at this time, if everyone will please, for the news, turn your books of Yahweh open to what Pastor's been quoting for the last few days, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 17 through 18. But also notice verse 16 where it's asked you, what agreement do we have with the gods? Of course, we have none. And it tells us that we need to separate ourselves from the unclean thing. Well, the news starts out by showing exactly what corona is, the coronavirus, and it explains what pastors already brought out about why they call it corona, how it looks like it has a crown, but then they show how it enters the body and then how it attacks the body, how it literally gets into the cells of your body and manipulates them and takes over your body to the point where it kills you. You have to separate from amongst these things or else we will receive them. You can't wallow in the mire and not become dirty. You know, if you go out and you play with things that are unclean, you cannot help but become unclean. And then, of course, it goes into what's taking place in our world. They just had Easter Sunday yesterday. They show the Pope standing in St. Peter's Basilica almost by himself. You know, it's kind of, he doesn't know yet, but as soon as the people learn to count to three, it will be like that many more times before this is over. But you have the deaths they show total here in the United States, 21,000 now, over 21,000. But they're saying that we're finally starting to hit that leveling off spot. In other words, they're saying it seems like we're getting to the point to where we may be getting on the downslide. And of course, remember the five moons, the 5 months, they should be seeing that right now in the United States of America, and it will start tapering off slowly. And this is going to go 5 moons here in the United States also. But while this is taking place, it's important, if you don't understand the futures market in the food industry, imagine that you want to start eating pears and peaches. Well, you don't go plant a pear tree and then plan to eat the pears the next week or the peaches the next week. Well, in the food industry, we have, remember what we showed about the tomatoes laying in the field? They have no workers to harvest them. The dairy milk being flushed down the drain, one farmer $20,000 a day because there's no one to buy it. There's no way to transport it to the markets he sells in. Well, right now, imagine Purdue chicken, for example. They have chickens, but their workers are testing positive for the coronavirus. What occurs when you have no workers to produce the chicken to get it to the market? It's not going to get to the market. It's going to become empty shelves, and we're seeing that already. Smithfield Foods, of course, they're the largest pork producer here in the United States. They had over 400 employees test positive in their facility alone, and they've been completely shut down, which that should help people's health, cutting that down. But you're going to see this get into the food supply. You're going to see the meat supply is also going to suffer, and we're going to bring more on this. And this is not just being seen locally. This is being seen globally. In fact, even in India, they're reporting that food shortages are starting to show. The shelves are becoming empty, and people are now, they're trying to tell the people the food chain is strong. You can have all the meat you want in the pastures. You can have them in the chicken houses. But if you can't process them, how does it get to the people? Well, you have people now, they're actually flocking to houses that sell chicks, baby chickens, baby roosters. They're rushing to buy them. I don't think they understand how long it takes to raise them before you can get a food supply from them. Once again, you can't plant the peach tree today and get the peach tomorrow. You have to do a process. Think of the processes that's been taking place in the house of Yahweh for many years and how long it's took to develop certain things. Well, this food shortage is coming upon the people, and you can see it coming because when the process in the beginning shuts down, you can't buy it at the store shelves, and they show the shelves are empty. There's nothing there to get. Well, also in Iran, and this is something to notice in Iran, don't forget the five moons. Iran is coming out and saying the virus started, that they're now determined their virus started, corona, in the first Roman month. And they're saying it took place during elections. They're now figuring that out. That's why it spread through their country so much. And listen to what they say. We're going to reopen our country at the end of the fourth Roman month, going into the fifth Roman month. Five moons. It's not a coincidence these things are taking place. And then while all these things are taking place, you still have the United States and Iran. Now, this is under the scenes, but they're talking war. They're threatening each other quite a bit. And it's a push and shove right now going on between the United States and Iran. And that's in and around that great river Euphrates over there. While this is taking place, of course, you have an oil agreement. Now, this oil agreement is nothing more than an agreement to reduce supply so the price will go back up. They're trying to get the wholesale price of the oil to go from $20 a barrel up to $40 and $50 a barrel because that's where the United States wants it. And watch what they say in here. They stress this is what the United States wants. Remember who's making the calls here, who's being led by the city that sits upon the seven hills. Of course, it's the strongest nation in this world today. And, of course, it's a mixture of the Protestant and the Catholic, as Revelation 13 tells us. But we see these oil agreements taking place, and watch, keep watching, focusing on what they focus on during this talk of the disease. The economy, which is the wine, hurt not the wine, and the oil, hurt not the oil and the wine. You don't see anyone outside the house of Yahweh saying, this is what led to this disease, this is what you need to do to put an end to it. You don't see anybody saying that. They're just counting the dead, one after another. And while all of these things are finishing up, of course, there's one thing that's said at the end. Of course, he says that he does a quotation of Winston Churchill, and he finishes it by saying, and this makes a lot of sense what Pastor is bringing in Revelations, it's not the end, but it's the end of the beginning. Because there's a second process we're getting ready to go through very quickly. But go back to what we said first and watch carefully how this enters the body. Separate from the unclean thing and Yahweh will receive us. We can become sons and daughters, but we must separate from the unclean thing. At this time, if we could go ahead and play the news. At this time, if everyone will please stand and get your horns ready, and I please hope you take notice of all the doctors and the scientists. They can't figure out how long this is going to last. Please pay attention at this time, and you will hear the very words that will explain it all. From the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Hello, everyone. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. Let's praise Yahweh. Boy. Listen to those trumpets. Oh, that is wonderful. Be seated, please. That is really good, hearing those trumpets blowing like that. The one thing I want you to get in your mind is fear not. And that's what Yahweh tells you over and over, but you really need to write down three scriptures quickly. Colossians 2 talks about the feast days, new moons, and Sabbaths. That's where knowledge begins. That's where your blessings begin. Leviticus 23 shows you his feast days. It all starts with the seventh day Sabbath, not the first day Sunday. That's the mark of the beast. The seventh day Sabbath. You need the book, by the way, the mark of the beast. Leviticus 23, and then Psalms. Thousands will fall at your right hand, at your side, and at your right hand, but it won't come near you. If you noticed in Revelation 16:2, this coronavirus is on those that have the mark of the beast. It's on those who have the mark of the beast. Read it for yourself, even in a King James Version. If you're willing to listen now, Yahweh tells you how you can escape all of this and send before Yeshua and receive your award very soon now. Very soon. I will make man in my image and likeness, and I will give him authority. That's going to be received in this 3.5 year period. Acts 3:19. You must repent of sin and you must be converted. Converted to practicing Yahweh's righteousness. Acts 3:19, repent and be converted. 1 John or 1 Yochanan 3:4-15. That's verses 4-15. Tells you that sin is the breaking of the law. I'm going to go into that in detail in just a moment. Then you must abide by the Savior's rules. He said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. 1 John 3 tells you, 1 John 3 tells you that his righteousness is keeping the laws, and said, don't let anyone deceive you otherwise. Verse 7, he who practices righteousness is righteous. He who breaks Yahweh's laws, that's sin, that's unrighteousness. Yeshua said, go to the place, seek the place. Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. That's the house of Yahweh. That's the priesthood Yahweh's plan is bringing forth. The house of Yahweh. Seek it. You have to seek it because there's only one. There's only one house of Yahweh. There's 4,199 houses of Baal, Lord God worship. Go to the place. That's Deuteronomy. Seek the place. Go to the place. Deuteronomy 12:5-8. It will be some time before the feast. Write down one more scripture, Isaiah 58, because it all begins with keeping a Sabbath, the seventh day Sabbath. That's a That's an appointment with Yahweh, an eternal appointment. That's where you receive your blessings. Keep it at his house. Now, it will be sometime before Feast of Tabernacles that a way will be open to you to get to the mountain. The mountain. Flee unto the mountain. That's Micah 4:1-3. If you need help in understanding that scripture when you read it, get you a book of Yahweh. That's number one. Or go online. You can read it there. It's better to have one in your home where you can actually mark it and teach others from it. But the house of Yahweh, it's the only place teaching peace and will stop war. We're pleading with the nations right now at this time. This article from I think it's New York Times. Trump, major disaster declared in all 50 American states at once. First time in history. First time ever in history now, and you're living through it. It is the first time in U.S. history that a major disaster has been declared for the entire country, as the number of confirmed cases in the ongoing deadly coronavirus pandemic tops 530,000 in the U.S., taking more than 20,000 lives. First time in history, U.S. President Donald Trump issued a major disaster declaration. And you're living through this. This is prophecy. Prophecy. Revelation 16:2. Now, the religion that came from Cain, this is all in the first four chapters of the book of Genesis. The religion that came from Cain. Cain was the first God worshiper. He was a priest. He was a priest of the gods. Belonged to Satan. That's also shown in 1 John in your King James Version. Yochanan was his true name, and of course that's the book of Yahweh. The religion that Cain started, it didn't stop in the flood. In fact, it picked up shortly after because the genes were there. They're learning more about these genes, I noticed, since the information that the house of Yahweh was put out, and a lot of sinuses is now taken up where I told them to many years ago. You also need the book The Real Cause of Global Warming, because it speaks of what the scientists are now bringing out in their information concerning the coronavirus. Well, this religion that Cain started of God worship, in Genesis 3:1-5, Satan, through Cain, her priest, talked his mother into practicing God worship. Satan refuted what Yahweh said, Yahweh the Creator, as she is refuting him now in these days, in these last days. She's got 4,199 God-worshiping religions. In Genesis 3:5, Most people totally overlook it, but it actually shows you the gods are evil. Be evil like the gods, she said. Surely you won't die. Well, you're dropping dead now. At my right side, at my left side, all around. And Yahweh makes you a promise. Yes, he makes every one of you a promise. If you will do what I tell you to do, he said. If you will keep my Sabbaths, that starts with there, Isaiah 58, it starts with keeping the Sabbath. If you will do this, then I will do certain things for you. The first scriptures I gave you shows you the protection that's offered by Yahweh. The religions won't repent. Yahweh tells you that in chapter 9 of Revelation. They will not repent, but you can. Well, here's the Pope, the leader of this religion. I told you yesterday how you can trace the Catholic Church from this point back to Revelations. History shows it. We have it in writing, on tape, everything, on the Google, on the internet. Every scriptural question is answered by the house of Yahweh, bar none. The Pope, the religion that sits on seven hills of Rome, Revelation 17, is bringing about a depopulation, whether they know it or not, whether all of them know it, they're following the same plan that Yahweh says will bring about a perishing. We're in that time period, that 3.5 year time period of the perishing at this time. The Pope is putting out some lessons on it, and written by the Vatican, of course, and the lessons that he's putting out, I want to read to you just a little bit, because they are waking up to this area, time, and an area that is spreading all over the world, this virus. Pope calls coronavirus nature's response. Nature's response. Well, that's as far as he goes to get to the people. We brought out that it's not nature, or not natural. It's very unnatural what these things are doing. It's unnatural. It's because we are breaking the natural laws. Now, we brought that out clearly in detail in the book called The Real Cause of Global Warming. Nature's response, and he says, no mention of God. He might be switching over or trying to get Yahweh on his side. I don't know. But no mention of God. This is a coronavirus, nature's response to it, to this virus. He says, Pope Francis claims that the corona pandemic is one of nature's responses to people ignoring the current environmental crisis report. Well, his idea there that he's trying to get across to you is that because you're burning gasoline and oil because of this, not burning much now, but you won't see these plagues stop because you stop burning gas and oil. But his ideals or theories that he's trying to put across is that we have a bunch of dead dinosaurs that turned to oil, and we're burning this oil and gasoline, and that's what's causing global warming. The scriptures show him differently, but he won't take that. He will not repent. The Vatican will not repent. Vatican means, if you want to Google the word, it means divining serpent. Who would want to follow divining serpent? Well, the whole world is following the divining serpent at this time. When the outbreak occurred, this scientist that he's very much tops, I won't read all of this, but he's asked the question, can you take me back to when you heard there was a coronavirus that was going to be an emergency situation in this country? What you thought then and what happened immediately. John Dye, I would say that the first I heard of it was when the outbreak occurred in Wuhan, China, and there was information that was coming out of Wuhan and China about this coronavirus. So I was familiar with coronaviruses before, from SARS-1, and there are other four coronaviruses that are actually circulating in the population. The United States population, on a yearly basis, they are currently lethal. What makes this one different? Now, this is the first time they heard about this one, this coronavirus. He says, what makes this one different? That's the question. What makes this one different? So it has to do with the genetic makeup of this particular virus. So those coronaviruses that are circulating in human population, they actually have been in humans for a long, long time. This is what I pointed out to you. These are the sexually from diseases, the STDs, the fornication, adultery, the sodomy, and bestiality. They put things in your body. Those things live in your body till they cross with another sinful god that we planted there in our body out of uncontrolled lust. They actually have been, he says, in humans for a long, long time. He didn't say this, but I'm telling you this, how they got there. How did they get in humans? Dying you will die, Yahweh says, if you don't follow these rules of mine. If you partake of this evil, it's going to get into your body, and dying you will die. This particular coronavirus jumped from an animal. Well, how did it do that? From bestiality. Animals don't rape. People rape. This particular coronavirus jumped from an animal species out of that species and spilled over into humans. Well, he puts it neatly so that you won't get angry with him. Those are the type of viruses that are possible pandemics or epidemics that can lead to large-scale lethality. So when you have something that goes from an organism that is in, that it is normally living in, and pops into the human population, those are the type viruses that we have to be worried about today. Well, you can see we put out this information in the book, The Real Cause of Global Warming. The talk show hosts kind of poked fun at it, but now they're living through it. Exactly what we put in that book. Yahweh created man. He created man. He's got a plan for man, and John 1 shows. Nothing has been done that Yahweh did not allow. He's allowing man and Satan to go their way, follow Satan, and he allowed them 6,000 years. That 6,000 years is up. In Genesis 3:17, let's turn there, Genesis 3:17. I want to walk you through this just a little bit here. In Genesis 1:26, he shows you the reason he created mankind, and the purpose. He's going to give him authority. His first family left their first estate. His wife and her gods, the children, her children who are gods and live a long life, apparently, they left their first estate. And Yahweh showed here in Genesis this rejection of his way and told them here what was going to take place. And then he says, I'm going to show you what your way will bring. In Genesis 3 and verse 17, he says, then to Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to, saying, you must not eat of it, cursed will be the ground for your sake. Cursed will be the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat from it all the days of your life. Now, try to get this in your mind. Chapter 2, verse 7, we're made from the ground. We're made from the dust. Dust. We're made from the microorganisms. That's the dust of the ground. The earth is made up. He made it of microorganisms, kingdoms that do jobs for mankind. Mankind he made, so he and is making to be in his image and likeness. Your body is put together by micro kingdoms. And each body has skin holding it in place, the micro kingdoms. Skin itself is made up of micro kingdoms. The skin holds it in place around your eyes, makes your nose stick out, makes your breathing come through to your lungs, forms your fingers, your toes, your hair on your head. That's what the kingdoms of microorganisms do, that Yahweh has in the dust, from which he made mankind into a body that he gives what is called a brain. So you can think, so you can enjoy life like he does. He has the same body. We're made in his image. He has fingers, toes, hair on his head, everything. That's the way he enjoys living. He lives, enjoys living through a body like he made for mankind. Well, this sin that came forth from Satan and following Satan, verse 17 says, "Now, since you have eaten of this tree of which I commanded you, saying, you must not eat of it, cursed will be the ground, cursed will be the ground for your sake," for your sake. This is for your sake. He says, since you did this, you're going to have to learn a lesson. So you, the ones who want to follow, they will never want to follow this source ever again of destroying the little things, the microorganisms, by hurting the microorganisms, they hurt the ground from which comes their food, from the microorganisms. Yes, you're eating microorganisms when you eat food, when you take in food. For your sake, in toil, he did this for man's sake, to show what he's bringing. When he left the perfect way of life, started bringing poison to the microorganisms, he started bringing suffering to himself. He shows later what that suffering will build to at the end of 6,000 years. I look at chapter 4 and verse 10. Chapter 4 and verse 10. He says, Yahweh said, he said, "What have you done?" Asking Cain, "What have you done?" "The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground, from the microorganisms, from the dust. So now you are cursed from the earth, from the microorganisms that make up the earth. You have hurt what makes you joyous." That's what you've done. You're fighting against what makes you joyous when you choose the way of the gods. Satan and the gods had their job taken away. They actually rejected it, as he showed right here in this third chapter, but many other chapters too. Their job was taken away, and they were put in limbo, so to speak. It's called darkness. And they're held where they were all these years. They can't grow because they would poison more. So he's held them at this point all this time, 6,000 years. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the soil, when you work the microorganisms, they shall no longer yield their strength to you. They can't. You've damaged them. So their strength is dying. You shall be a fugitive, and you will be ever searching for peace on the earth and from the earth, but you won't find peace. You're going the way of war. You killed your own brother. You followed the gods, the evil gods, Genesis 3:5. Now back to chapter 4, verse 13. And Cain said to Yahweh, "My punishment Well, no, it's not punishment, Cain. You brought this curse upon yourself. You brought it on yourself. Now you've got to live with it. And mankind, it will benefit from all of this, because the people Yahweh chooses who live through this thing and follow righteousness and don't yield themselves to God worship, they will be given eternal life. They will enjoy life forever because they will guard against hurting the little things, the microorganisms that must live and do their job and enjoy their job and bring you joy with sight, with sight, and with thinking. Sight and thinking. Think, oh, how beautiful that is. How tasty that is. That's thinking. You couldn't do it without the microorganism. Now you're confused. So the taste of food doesn't taste right anymore. You've damaged the taste buds, the microorganisms that gives you the thinking to enjoy the taste in your mouth. Those are some of the joys right there that we got in the body that Yahweh made us. And Cain said to Yahweh, my punishment is greater than I can bear. My reward is what he should have said. My reward that I'm getting from this is horrible. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground, from the face of the microorganisms, from the face of the dust. You've driven me away. They hate me now. It's your fault, Yahweh. Yes, that's what they're saying today. Even in today's time, they're blaspheming Yahweh for what they have been doing for 6,000 years. And the curses now that it's involving, as President Trump said, it's broken all records now. You're living through a part of history that'll never be again. And few will live through this. Few, Yeshua said. You better think about repenting. You better think hard about repenting. All of you preachers out there, you need to let my people go. You need to tell them, stop sinning. How do they do that? They go to the house of Yahweh. You could come with them, but you won't. Face of the ground, the face of the microorganism, the dust from which you were made and formed. That's verse 14. I shall not be seen by your face. No, you're seen by the evil God face. That's what we're seeing right now. The evil God face. It's fighting. It's war. It's continual war, Yahweh said. You can't get over it. You're ever searching for peace, but you're searching for it through war. Well, let's kill this enemy, and let's take these people's land. We need their land. Well, what are you going to give them? Nothing. Get out of here. Get off of your land. This is the God face that you're carrying forth. Everyone can see how evil it is, but the churches are saying, go ahead and be this way. You'll die and go to heaven, and you'll enjoy life then. Well, that's the stupid lesson that Satan brought too. Back to 4:14, Genesis 4:14. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, for there shall be continual war, vengeance, and retaliation. And Yahweh said, well, that's further enough. No, let's go over to Deuteronomy, because he backs this up again. This was 4004. 4003, written in 4003, turn over to Deuteronomy 30, and it was written in 1400. This is 1451. 1451 BY. Genesis 4 was written in 4003. In Deuteronomy 30 now, in verse 15 through 19, he says, "See, I have set before you this day life." That's the same thing he said in Genesis 1 and 2. "I've set before you this day now, after I brought you out of the land of Egypt, I've set before you now life by righteousness." Righteousness, don't let anyone deceive you. He who practices the laws of Yahweh, he who practices the laws of Yahweh is righteous. He who sins transgresses the laws of Yahweh. 1 John 3:4-8. "See, I have set before you this day life by righteousness, but I've also set before you now death and destruction." And that's what we're facing with seven seals, the seven plagues right now, death and destruction. But it's built up now to where it can't be stopped. It's got to play itself out. The destruction is going to come, yes, in this 3.5 years that we're in right now. There's no stopping it, no delaying any more time. It's going to come. Be ready or not, it's coming. 16, verse 16. "In that I command you this day to love Yahweh your Father." That's the very first and greatest commandment, Yeshua said. Love Yahweh. They put love the Lord. They took his name out. You know, that shows the strength of a God. He can't foretell prophecy, but he can steal. He can, and he has to steal books from that Yahweh's prophets wrote. Their gods have to steal them and put their names on them, because they can't foretell the future. They don't have that strength. They can only steal and murder and do everything that is evil. "Yahweh your Father, in that I have commanded you this day to love Yahweh your Father by walking in his ways and keeping his laws, his statute, and his judgment, so that you may live." So you may live. So you can have eternal life. Look at verse 17. "And if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and you're drawn away to submit to gods," remember Genesis 3:5, "evil like to gods, to worship them by serving them, I declare to you this day that you will surely perish." You will surely perish. Look at verse 19. "I call heaven and earth to witness what I've set before you." This is a 6,000 year trial that he is setting before heaven and earth. The heavens. Satan and her gods can see this. She has preachers here, thousands of them, but none of them can see it. It's got to be shown to you in the house of blessings. What's a house of blessing? Where is it? Psalms 118, verse 26. Also write down Yeshua, what he said about it. "You won't see me anymore. You won't see me, period, until you say, 'Blessed is the one that comes in the name of Yahweh.'" They make an interlinear now that shows the original writing in Hebrew and word-for-word translation called the interlinear. All bookstores have it. You can pick it up. You can read it online. Read these scriptures and you'll see the name Yahweh from the interlinear. That gives you a word-for-word translation. But you won't see it in the King James Bible. They replaced it. Unger's Bible Dictionary said they shouldn't have replaced the name Yahweh. They should have retained it. Verse 19, Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to witness this against you this day, that I have set before you this, life and death, what's occurring all over the world now, at this time, breaking all records. What is it that's occurring? This President Trump said, never before has this taken place. But the scripture said, and I said 14 years ago the last time, before that I put it in the mark of the beast, this is going to take place. It's going to be the worst ever. That's what the Savior Yeshua said. Matthew 24. It's going to be the worst ever. Well, we're in it. Everybody sees it, and they're talking about it. So why won't they repent? The preachers, the servants of Satan, God worshipers, the worshipers of God. Yahweh is not a God. No, that's an evil word. Evil. God's evil, like the gods. Yahweh is a heavenly Father that has created man and is creating man, still creating man, in his own image, after his likeness. The ones he chooses will come to perfection. Yeshua said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I have set before you life and death. You're seeing the death right now. You're seeing the curses right now. Blessings and curses. I've set before you the worst ever of death and curses. Therefore, choose. It's your choice. Choose life, he said. Choose life. Well, now you're seeing how quickly life and the necessities of life, the necessities of life. You saw the empty shelves in the grocery store? There's worse coming. Much worse than this. The necessities of life are going to disappear. And you're seeing right now how they can be taken away. It's a sad picture, but it's something that mankind must learn to be made into Yahweh's image. The only hope for mankind is Yahweh. It's not the evil gods. They want to see you destroyed. That starts with the Sabbath, Isaiah 58, the seventh day Sabbath. Here is where we are blessed with the knowledge of the little things, the microorganisms. This is the place that brought it first for you. This is the place that's bringing it now. This is the place from which blessings come. From the house of Yahweh only. We're the only ones on earth that's prophesied to teach salvation. We're the only ones that's teaching salvation. The only thing you're getting and is going to get now, from now on, is just flat curses from 4,199 religions. Yahweh bless you, and I hope you will really study now. Stay in touch. Sometime between now and the Feast of Tabernacles, before the Feast of Tabernacles, a door will be open for you. You've got to do what Yahshua said. Seek that place. Come to that place. Deuteronomy 12:5. Don't do what you've been doing. Every person, whatever he chooses. Come here to do the will of Yahweh, to learn of his ways, and you will be blessed by learning the will of Yahweh. Yahweh bless you. I love you. Beautiful, beautiful.